I'd like to discuss in Hilchos Ribbis a particular area that can be very problematic, but as long as you have some awareness in advance, as long as you know what to look for, it can virtually always be worked out in a way which is mutar al pi halacha. And that is ribbis between partners. Many partnership deals, the operating agreements, or various other transactions between the partners involve ribbis. And some of the standard ways of heter iska do not necessarily work. They need to be adapted to the particular circumstances. So let's begin with an operating agreement. Virtually every operating agreement deals with capital calls. The most common problem that businesses face is that they're underfunded, that there's not enough startup capital in the beginning. And therefore, when people enter into a partnership, they very often include a clause that if in the future the business needs more money, there can be a capital call, and all of the partners have an responsibility to contribute a prorated share of the needed capital. If one partner is unable to make a capital call, he doesn't have the funds available. So very often the agreement states that the other partners will put in the money, and that will be considered a loan to this partner that did not contribute his amount. Now, depending on how the operating agreement is structured, sometimes when this money is advanced, it's only the defaulting partner, the one that didn't put in the money, has no personal responsibility. He's not personally liable for the money. It's just his ownership shares of the partnership will become diluted or will be liable for these funds. But he never has an obligation to take money out of his pocket to reimburse the partners. In those situations, according to the Igros Moshe, the famous tshuva, that if when there's no personal liability, the issur of ribbis will not apply. So according to the Igros Moshe, there will be no issue. However, if there is personal liability, or for those that are machmer that do not rely on this Igros Moshe, we have a problem that needs to be addressed. Now, there is a way to write a heter iska. We'll deal with that in a few moments. But I'd like to deal with a more basic question. Is there anything wrong with signing such an operating agreement where, in the event of a capital call, someone defaults, there's going to be an interest rate? Is there a problem actually signing the agreement? Or is the problem only later, in the event that there's a capital call and I don't put in the money and then there's a loan and there's interest? Now I have a problem of ribbis. Now this question seems to be really a dispute in the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Metzia. The Gemara discusses a ktitza d'layosli de'gvir. If a person borrows money, he obligates himself to pay interest, but at the end of the day, before they actually collect the money, the parties realize they violated ribbis and they never collect the money. So there the Gemara discusses, was anything done wrong when they actually signed the agreement? Is the issur ribbis simply to actually pay the interest? Or is an agreement to pay the interest itself a violation of the lav d'oraisa? Now this is a machlokes amiroim, it's a machlokes achroinim. There does not seem to be a clear hachro, a clear decision among the poskim. And since we are dealing with a sefek d'oraisa, because we're dealing with an issur ribbis, which is min ha-toira, the klal, the rule is sefek d'oraisa l'chumra, a person would have to be machmer, a person would have to adopt the more stringent opinion, and a ktitza d'layosli de'gvir would be awesome. However, in the case of the operating agreement, it's perhaps a bit easier. And to explain it, I'd like to go to another situation. What happens if a person uses a Jewish credit card? A Jewish bank. Now clearly if it's a Jewish bank and he charges and there's interest that accrues, clearly that is straight ribbis d'oraisa, there's no justification for that. What happens if he charges something on the card, but his intention is to pay before the end of the grace period? So he swiped the card, he owes the money, but the interest will not accrue within 30 days, if he pays within 30 days. So this is a bit different. Because in the Gemara's case, the ktitza d'layosli de'gvir was dealing with a situation where I borrow the money, I immediately agree to pay the interest. When it came time to pay, I renegotiated, we realized there's a problem, we backed off. In the case of a credit card, when you swipe the card, when you borrow the money, you don't owe any interest. Day one, day two, day three, day four, you don't owe a penny. It's only if you now wait 30 days and you pass the grace period, then from there, that point and on, or retroactively, then you get hit with ribbis. So perhaps a tzitza, which is missing something, it's not final, you still need to wait time, perhaps that would not be subject to this dispute. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos explains the reason why the, according to some opinions, you violate the prohibition immediately is because it's kegavui domi. The moment you've agreed to pay, you've obligated yourself, it's like it's collected. And therefore, logically, you can make a very strong argument that if it's not owed yet, it's not the 30 days yet, it's impossible for it to be kegavui domi. You can't say it's as if this debt was already paid. Now, nevertheless, although logically this seems to be true, there are a number of places that discuss this matter. The Minchas Shloima in Chelek Aleph is mesupik about it, does not have a clear achra. The only poistik that I saw that addresses the matter directly and gives a psak is the Marsham, and he says it's aser. He says there's no difference and it would still be aser. However, in the case of the operating agreement, I believe a person can be makel. And that is, because in the Marsham's case and in the credit card case, I borrowed money today. If I don't pay within 30 days, I've obligated myself to pay interest. In such a situation, because the loan is here, although the grace period hasn't expired, that perhaps is a tzitza, thus the last of the gevira perhaps is asa. In the case of the operating agreement, when the agreement is signed, no loan takes place. And there may never be a loan. So to say that you've violated this isser simply by signing the agreement before the loan existed, that I know of no source for that isser. And therefore, in that case, al pi halacha, a person can probably be makel. Nevertheless, although from a technical point of view, we can be makel, and the signing the document itself is not a violation of an isser, it's certainly not a good idea. Because at the end of the day, if 2 years down the line there is a capital call and someone does default, you'll then be in a situation where there's a loan, where there's a tzitza, where there's ribbis, and you'll be stuck. So it's certainly not a good idea to do this. It's certainly kedai and very worthwhile to incorporate into the operating agreement a heter iska. Now, a heter iska between partners is a little bit different than a standard heter iska. The reason is that as we've explained previously, in a standard heter iska, the lender's right to demand profit or to demand interest is based on the fact that he tells the borrower, listen, this money that I gave you, it wasn't a loan, it was an investment. But prove what happened to the investment. Bring witnesses, make an oath, whatever it will be. If you can't establish, you can't prove what happened to the investment, I'm giving you another option. Give me back the principal plus 6%, 8%, whatever the agreed upon interest rate is. And in that case, you're buying out your responsibility. You don't have to make an oath. You don't have to bring witnesses. The borrower, who generally doesn't have witnesses, is going to choose that, and everyone's happy. This only works if the borrower and lender, this is an arm's length transaction. The lender has no idea what's going on in the borrower's business, so he has the right to tell him, either prove what the profits or losses were, or make this alternate payment. With partners, this doesn't make sense. Partners, the money is invested in the business. They're all actively involved in the business. And if the business loses money, each of the partners will have first-hand direct knowledge about this loss. And therefore, the concept of a heter iska does not really apply. What needs to be done in such cases is a special heter iska has to be executed, where although the money goes into the partnership, they create a heter iska on other investments that privately belong to the partners. It's a bit more complicated. There are different sensitivities depending on the exact terms of the deal. It's something that you should consult with a Rav before you do it. But again, it's extremely important and extremely wise when you enter into a partnership, especially if it involves real estate or businesses where borrowing and lending money is common. it is certainly wise to incorporate a heter iska, and it should be done with appropriate guidance to make sure the iska is done is appropriate for the particular situation.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.